Okay, I believe Alan has the reading today.
Genesis chapter 43, verses 15 through 16 and 19 through 24. So the men packed Jacob's gifts and doubled the money and headed off with Benjamin. They finally arrived in Egypt and presented themselves to Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the manager of his household, "These men will eat with me this noon. Take them inside the palace. Then go slaughter an animal and prepare a big feast." The brothers approached the manager of Joseph's household and spoke to him at the entrance to the palace. "Sir," they said, "we came to Egypt once before to buy food. But as we were returning home, we stopped for the night and opened our sacks. Then we discovered that each man's money, the exact amount paid, was in top of his sack. Here it is. We have brought it back with us. We also have additional money to buy more food. We have no idea who put our money in our sacks." "Relax. Don't be afraid," the household manager told them. "Your God, the God of your father, must have put this treasure into your sacks. I know I received your payment." Then we released Simeon and brought him out to them. The manager then led the men into Joseph's palace. Here ends reading.
Thanks, Alan. As Alan sets the stage for us with our sermon today, we're returning to our series on Joseph. And today we're going to talk about testing, something Joseph certainly knows a lot about, but a little bit different twist today than in the past. So how do you respond to test? Do you like test? Does anyone like test? I know Cody does test like every other day these days. I can remember one test that was real important in my life. I was getting my driver's license for the first time. And I had to do the written test and the driving test. Well, guess what? I failed by one question on the written test. Oh, man, was it tough. I was so embarrassed. It was just humiliating to flunk. And I have to tell you, I necessarily don't like tests. I don't think many of us like tests, but they are a fact of life. So in our passage today, we do again see Joseph dealing with a test. But this time, he's giving the test. If anyone could give a wise test, it would be Joseph. He's going to give a number of tests, and some of them have already been in process. And how Joseph or why Joseph does it is because he needs to test his brother. He needs to find his brothers. He needs to find out if they've changed. Have the brothers changed in the 20 years since he's really known them well? What transpires from these tests will determine what happens to them individually, personally, and what happens to the entire family. So today, we see the results. You know, first time the brothers came, they came for grain, and Joseph gave them a test. He told them that for them to come back and ask for more food, he would need to see their younger brother. He would need to see him. Then he did kind of a hidden one. He had money in their sacks of grain as an additional test to see what they did with that. Well, we heard in our passage today that they returned the money. They gave the money back. And they had Benjamin with them as they came back for more grain. So I would say they've passed that first test. They've passed it, which is a good thing. I'm sure Joseph was excited they passed that part. The brothers are now here for a second time. You see, their families have struggled. They haven't been able to get food. And so they have come back. They've come back to get more food, to buy more food. And as they come back, as soon as they entered, Joseph noticed Benjamin was with him. He told his staff, "We're going to have lunch at our house," or dinner as we call it in these parts. "We're going to have lunch, so prepare a meal for them," as was read. So we go now to Joseph's palace. And there he's surrounded by his servants and officials. And he brings his brothers into the house, which had to be rather intimidating for the brothers as they came. And we get a glimpse of what the Egyptians thought what the Egyptians thought about outsiders, especially the Hebrews. Let me go ahead and read it, and this is from Genesis 43, 31 and 32. After washing his face, he came back out, keeping himself under control. Then he ordered, bring out the food. The waiter served Joseph at his own table, and his brothers were served at a separate table. The Egyptians who ate with Joseph sat at their own table because Egyptians despise Hebrews and refused to eat with them. Now, it wasn't that they were just a higher class. Obviously, they felt they were. But think of the Egyptians. They're clean-shaven. They bathe all the time. They're dressed appropriately, in contrast to the Hebrews that are herders. They're herders of sheep, and there are herders of goats. How many of you have been around goats very much? I have. If you know goats, goats smell. They smell something fierce. I can only guess that these bearded, hairy Hebrews smelled something fierce. I doubt they wash very much. I doubt they shave very often. And so there they are. And Joseph and his staff, they're sitting at one table, and all the Hebrews, his brothers, are sitting at another table. And Joseph's there wondering. He's wondering, what do the brothers think of their youngest brother? Now, when they came in and Joseph had a chance to interact with his brother, he was so overcome. It was such an emotional time. He actually had to leave because he was so emotionally overwhelmed at the meeting of his brother. He said just a few words and then left the room. But now he shows up again. In verses 33 through 34, we have test two. Joseph told each of his brothers where to sit. And to their amazement, he seated them according to age, from oldest to youngest. They had to wonder, how does this guy know this? How does he know the youngest to the oldest? And Joseph filled their plates with food from his own table, giving Benjamin five times as much as he gave the others. So they feasted and drank freely. Had to be a good sign for Joseph, because the test was, if they grumbled and complained, well, look what he got. He got five scoops of ice cream on his cone. We only each got one. They didn't care what Benjamin had. They didn't care that Joseph served him so much more. He just ate freely and had a good time. So test two, they passed test two fairly easy, because what Joseph was looking for was jealousy. He was looking to see if much had changed, because back in his day, they would have grumbled. They would have complained. So now we approach the final test. And this test is very involved. This test will tell him everything he needs to know. They finish the meal, and the brothers get ready to leave. And he sends his staff, and he tells his staff to, again, pack the money that they paid for the grain back into their bags. But this time, take a special silver cup and put it into Benjamin's grain. Hide it separately. Don't let the brothers know. So that's the setup for the final test. The brothers leave and go away. In our next verse in Genesis 44, 4 through 5, we read, Joseph said to his palace manager, at a certain point after they had left, chase after them and stop them. When you catch up with them, ask them, why have you repaid my kindness with such evil? Why have you stolen my master's silver cup, which he uses to predict the future? What a wicked thing you have done. Ask them those questions. And you need to understand, Joseph was a leader. And the leaders, you could tell they were leaders by the things they owned. I mean, Joseph had this grand palace. I've been in one of their palaces, and it's not like a big high place. It's like a vast rambler-type home there in Egypt. And I should say I've seen the diggings from those sites. He sends them out to chase them down. And so his men do. They come to the brothers, and they ask the questions. They put the questions that Joseph has asked them to ask. You can imagine what the brothers thought. The brothers thought, what are you talking about? We don't have a clue what you're talking about. We would never do such a thing. We wouldn't steal anything from the governor, the leader, the one in charge of handing out the food. We just wouldn't do that. Why on earth would you think we would? There is just no way. There is no way. They are totally confident. And they say, if we have done anything like that, if we had done anything like that, you may do what you need to do. Let's read verses 9 through 11 of chapter 44. If you find his cup with any one of us, let that man die. And all the rest of us, my lord, will be your slaves. That's fair, the man replied, Joseph's man. But only the one who stole the cup will be my slave. The rest of you may go free. They all quickly took their sacks from the backs of their donkey and opened them. Well, it's good to be confident, but sometimes life isn't always predictable. Sometimes life is mess. I'm sure you would agree. You'd find out, you found out in your life that things don't always go as you planned. So verses 12 and 13, we find the results, and they're devastating for the brothers. The palace manager searched the brother's sack from the oldest to the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. When the brothers saw this, they tore their clothing in despair. Then they loaded their donkeys again and returned to the city. Now, that's really important. That last line is really important. You see, the brothers could have left. The brothers could have said, oh, well. They could have said, bummer, Benny. So bad, so sad. You shouldn't have done it. Hopefully your travels will be better next time. We're out of here. And their conscience would have been clear. They didn't steal the cup. Obviously, Benjamin did. They didn't do it. But the brothers didn't say all that. They didn't do all that. The brothers actually stuck together. They were frustrated with Benjamin, who knows he didn't do it. But what can the brothers think? So they go back to Egypt. They go back to Joseph's palace. And Joseph said, why on earth did you do this horrible thing to me? Why did you do that? And Judah answers him. You remember Judah. He's the brother that had the grand idea to sell Joseph into slavery 20 years or so before. So Judah speaks for all the brothers. And we read in verse 16 of chapter 44, Judah answered, oh my Lord, how can we say to you? How can we explain this? How can we prove our innocence? God is punishing us for our sins. My Lord, we have all returned to be your slaves, all of us, not just our brother, who had your cup in his sack. And of course, Joseph. No, 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 Joseph says on the next verse. I would never do such a thing. Only the man who stole the cup will be my slave. The rest of you may go back to your father in peace. Joseph wants to give his brothers one more chance. He wants to give them one more opportunity. And so he gives them permission to go. But the difference is the brothers have changed. The brothers have changed. And they figured out that they're being punished for what they did many years before. Guilt had gotten stronger and stronger. And they've realized that, no, we have to pay. We have to give an account for what we did. Judah is a changed man as his brothers. And he says, my Lord, in verse 19 through 24, my Lord, previously you asked your servants, do you have a father or a brother? And we responded, yes, my Lord, we have a father who is an old man, and his youngest son is a child of his old age. His full brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother's children. And his father loves him very much. And you said to us, bring him here so I can see him with my own eyes. But we said to you, my Lord, the boy cannot leave his father, for his father would die. But you told us, unless your youngest brother comes with you, you will never see my face again. So we returned to your servant, our father, and told him what you had said. We were faithful to you. Joseph. They didn't call him Joseph. They didn't know he was Joseph. We were faithful to you. We were faithful to our father. We told him everything that went on. We told him everything you said. But the problem is the drought continued. The drought went on. So our father asked us to come back. And we told him in verse 26, we can't go unless you let our youngest brother go with us. We'll never get to see the man's face, meaning we'll never get grain unless our youngest brother is with us. Then my father said to us, as you know, my wife had two sons, and one of them went away and never returned. Doubtless, he was torn to pieces by some wild animal. I have never seen him since. Now, if you take your brother away from me, and any harm comes to him, you will send this grieving white-haired man to his grave. It has really caught up to the brothers. The impact, what they had done with Joseph. This man has grieved for 20, I'm sorry, the impact of what they had been to his father, Jacob. Their father had grieved for like 20 years. You could say he was stuck in the grieving process. The grief was so deep for him. He's lost Joseph, and now, possibly, he could lose Benjamin. Judah continues talking in verse 30. And now, my lord, I cannot go back to my father without the boy. Our father's life is bound up in the boy's life. If he sees that the boy is not with us, our father will die. We, your servants, will indeed be responsible for sending that grieving white-haired man to his grave. We have no choice. I have no choice. I have given my word to my father that I would bring Benjamin back. I have given my word. And he does something that says it all. Verse 32 through 34. If I don't bring him back to you, I will bear the blame forever. So please, my lord, let me stay here as a slave instead of the boy. And let the boy return with his brothers. For how can I return to my father if the boy is not with me? I couldn't bear to see the anguish this would cause my father. Judah is taking full responsibility. Judah is willing to make the supreme sacrifice. I thought as I was reading this and studying this how notable it was that it's through the line of Judah that Jesus Christ would come someday. That Jesus Christ would come someday to pay the supreme price for all of us, for you and me. No, I would say they passed the test. I would say they passed test 3, but we'll have to wait till next week. I don't want you to peek into chapter 45. That's one right after 44, just before 46. I don't want you to peek at all. Don't even check it out. Of course, you could cheat the system and come and see our movie this afternoon, but that's another thing. So I'm just going to talk about two points, two simple points. We've talked about trials before. And one thing we know about trials, in this life, we will have trials. We will have struggle. We will have challenges. In the book of James, it says very simply, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect, complete, needing nothing. This is great advice for us. Great advice for us who live in a fallen world. I was thinking of Joseph in his example. Not only did Joseph work through his testing, but he found peace. He even found joy in the process because he kept his focus on Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, on his Father in heaven. He kept his focus on God as we can keep our focus on Jesus Christ. As I read other scripture and thought about him, I thought about how he understood our next point. And our next point is that God will deliver us. God will deliver us. 2 Kings 17:39 in the NIV. Worship the Lord your God. It is he who will deliver you from the hand of all your enemies. God is the God of the universe. He's the creator of all this world. He created it all. He created you. As we've discussed in the past, he knows you well. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, also in the NIV. But the Lord is faithful. and he will strengthen you and protect you. And if you've lived with him much, you know he will do that. He will do that. Now, I know at times of testing, none of us like them. We just don't like them. We can see them as something to build us up, but they can just be hard. They can be real. They can be harsh. Like Jesus dealt with as we get ready to approach Easter. Jesus talked often with his Father. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed a prayer asking the Father, if there's another way, if we could do it another way, if I could avoid this, Lord, if there's a possible way to avoid what is up in front of me. Yet, Jesus remained faithful. He said, let your will be done, Father. He was well aware of the suffering that was going to take place. He was all human. He was fully God and fully man, and he was human. For us today, let us follow that example of Jesus Christ as he submitted to his Father's will. Let us follow the example of Joseph as Joseph kept his focus on his Lord. May we remain faithful through any testing. May we keep that focus on God. May we give him all the glory and honor and praise. Let me pray. Father, I know our days are challenged. I know our times are challenged and rough. We have many situations and many trials and testings. And we would pray for your strength. We would pray for an awareness of your will, just like Jesus showed us there in the garden. We would ask for an awareness like Joseph experienced through many years of testing. How through it all, he kept his focus on you, the one true God. I pray that you will be with us. Help us to be strong during those times. And may we give you all the glory and power. In Jesus' name, amen.